Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Good to be back with you. Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I want you to hear the Old Testament lesson again for today. Say to those who have anxious heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. Fear. It's a bugger. Yeah, I like that word. Have you ever watched NCIS Los Angeles? There was a person on there called Hetty, and she would always say, well, that's a bugger. And why, you know, I think that's a British term for like, it's kind of a pain in the rear end or something, or it's quite, you know, whatever, stressful. Fear is stressful. Fear is a pain in the rear end. It's a bugger, isn't it? Scripture tells us that fear comes from punishment. That's what St. John tells us in his letters, that fear comes from punishment. And you may be thinking, well, when I'm afraid of a health issue, when I'm afraid of running out of money, when I'm afraid of, you know, whatever, my marriage might be breaking, when I'm afraid of things happening around me, when I'm afraid of loss, when I'm afraid of my kids might not be doing well, when I'm afraid of the future, when I'm afraid of my present, whatever it is, we all struggle with fear. And I think it's funny because guys are worse at admitting they're afraid, but guess what? We are afraid too. And maybe the reason we don't admit we're afraid very often is because we're afraid to admit that we're afraid, right? But the reality is we all struggle with fear at some level. And ultimately, as Scripture says, I believe it comes from this fear of punishment, right? Because ultimately, if we trace out the fear, one of the things that we talk a lot about in pastoral counseling and those types of things is when we trace out fear, we take it to its largest, longest, furthest conclusion. When I've done that with people, even me myself, because I struggle with fear all the time. I'm a very fearful person, you know? And I'm just going to be honest with you. I do. I struggle with fear. It's one of my things that I deal with. It's a thorn in my flesh. When we take it out to its logical conclusion, it always comes to something that is catastrophic. Right? Fear of punishment. Maybe I've offended God. Maybe he's going to do something to me. Maybe I'm going to die. You know, one time, I'll be honest with you, used to in the past, and I still kind of struggle with this, one of my fears was finances and money. And I was talking to my own personal counselor one time, and he said, what is your fear? And I said, well, what if we run out of money? He goes, well, take it out to the logical conclusion. Well, if we run out of money, then I lose my car. If I run out of money, I lose my house. If I run out of money, my wife may leave me, which she wouldn't because I have the most faithful and loving wife in the world. I don't know what I'd do without her. But, you know, that's fear, right? That's what our brain does. And then ultimately, I got to this point, well, if I run out of money, I'll be homeless and I won't be able to eat and I'll die. Fear of death. And if we really look at Scripture, death, well, death is punishment. Death is punishment for our sins. Because of our sinfulness, death entered the world. However, God has come with a vengeance. He came into this world with a vengeance, not a vengeance for you and for me, but a vengeance to destroy Satan and to destroy that punishment so that we might live forever. He has destroyed sin, death, and the devil. He has destroyed it. It's gone in Jesus Christ, in his death and in his resurrection. It is gone so that you and I may live and have victory over sin, death, and the devil. He has come with a vengeance. He has come with recompense. He has come to the brokenhearted. He has come to the deaf and the mute and the lame and the hurting. He's come for you and for me and our sinfulness to remove that punishment, to remove our sin as far as the east is from the west. So that fear and punishment may have no room in our lives. This is the greatest act ever known in all humankind, that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world for sinners just like you and me, so that we might live forever without fear of punishment, without punishment at all. Because after all, when you really think about it, the Lord God took every bit of his wrath, anger, and our punishment, and placed it on Jesus for our sake when he died on the cross. And the resurrection of Jesus from the tomb seals the deal. It seals and proclaims to us that our punishment, our sin, our wrongdoing has been removed, and the grace and love of Jesus fills our lives for eternity. Something interesting it says here, for waters break forth into the wilderness and streams in the desert. When we go through these places of fear and stress and anxiety in our life, sometimes we get caught up in it. I do. And I get grumpy and I get down and my depression flares up. And, you know, I kind of have this negative, depressed outlook on the world. I'm guilty of that. But God says, listen, in your desert, in the parchedness of your life, I give you living water in Jesus. The living water that flows from the cross and the empty tomb, the living water that flows from the Word of God in our lives, the living water that was given to us at our baptism, the living water as we take the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Living water that seeps into our hearts with the blood, the grace, and the love and life of Jesus to cleanse us, to renew us, to wipe away doubt and fear. The only way this happens is when we plug in to God. You see, He has done everything for us, and then He extends His hand and says, take it. My hand, my word, my grace, my love for you is there. And sometimes in our sinfulness and our fear, we don't take His hand. But as we take the hand of God by reading His Word and studying His Word, by being in worship, and I hear so many people today say, well, I don't have to go to church to be saved, which is true, but if we don't go to church to worship God and receive the sacraments, we become weak in our faith, and we run the danger of losing our faith because fear and the overwhelming power of this world will take us away from us. Being in God's Word, connecting with Him daily in devotion, multiple times in prayer, coming to worship, being in the fellowship of a family, just like we are in Christ, like the church, a true family of love and grace. The streams of living water from Jesus will well up in our parched, dry land to save us, to give us peace and comfort. Yeah. That's what it's really all about, isn't it? Because we have a God with overwhelming love. A love that never ends, that's unconditional, that meets us right where we are for who we are, that transforms the world and turns us into the life-giving water to reach our brothers and sisters in our families, our churches, and those who yet do not know Jesus. The peace of God which transcends all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our risen and living Lord. Amen.